Pray the Lord will inspire His Word to every one of our hearts. I'd like to look at a passage of Scripture in the 16th Psalm. Maybe we'll just begin in the first verse. Psalm 16 and 1. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. The psalmist here in his prayer and his psalm, he's asking the Lord for His preservation, to keep him and to preserve him. Speaks some of the evildoer that is around him. And if you remember in, I believe it's the 73rd Psalm. The Psalm of Asaph is said, truly God is good to Israel, even such are as of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore the people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. 12th verse, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. It was a feeling that the psalmist had that he was dealing with as he looked out and he beheld the prosperity of the wicked. You know, we're born with a tendency or with a desire to see justice. We desire as people to see meted out what seems to be fitting or deserving to individuals and to people. And whenever the psalmist looked out and he saw the wickedness of the heathen, they're going, they're running after their own ways, they're forsaking your ways. It seems like then that I would see it measured out upon their own head. It seems that I would see them in trouble and in despair and in distress. But yet at this moment in time, it looks like from all indications that I could see, they're prospering. It seems like their eyes stand out in fatness. It seems like whenever they come their time to die, they just slip on out. There are no bands or difficulty in their death. Maybe you felt some of that sometimes. The enemy coming along and trying to discourage. I'm trying to do everything that I know to do, trying to live for the Lord, and here difficulty comes my way, and I look at others, and it seems like ease comes their way. Whenever Joseph was endeavoring to please and serve the Lord, here I am sitting in prison. I'm in prison, and there my brothers are out free, and they're the ones that resulted in me being here. But you know, this walk with the Lord requires a spiritual vision. It requires a looking out beyond just what we see in the present and in today and the now. And that's what the Lord helped the psalmist here to be able to see. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely Thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Oh, we may be the mockery of the world. They may look on us and laugh and scorn, and may look on our ways and our decisions. Thank you. And the things that we determine, the way that we determine to live, and they did it with Daniel and with the Hebrew children. You're choosing not to eat the king's meat. That's foolish of you. You'll have no hope to be able to stand before the king eating your pulse and your vegetables. But there was something they were looking at beyond just the temporal. The blessing of the Lord maketh fat and it increaseth. So he was able to see. You know, sometimes we need to go back into the sanctuary. Sometimes whenever my vision begins to get dimmed and begin to feel discouragement and I begin to be affected by all that I see going on around us, it can affect us. At least I'll speak for myself in hearing the news and looking at all that's going on and hearing the just how widespread it is and how widespread the evil is and the wickedness and how rampant it is in our world. It can become discouraging. It can seem like wickedness surely has the upper hand. But David went back into the tabernacle. Lord, here I am trying to serve you by all I know and understand. And sometimes difficulty comes my way. And the enemy is right there to say, if you'd go this way, it'd be so much easier. So the children of Israel, when they got out into a little difficulty, into a little hardship, and didn't have the water that they wanted right away, and they got tired of the food that they were eating after a while, they began to think back and remember, oh, if only we were in Egypt. If only we could be there, how quickly we can forget. How quickly they forgot what Egypt really was. But isn't that the way the devil talks? Isn't it the way he paints the picture? If you go this way with the Lord, it's nothing but hardship and difficulty. This hardship that you're in right now, if you went my way, it'd be so much easier on you. The Lord told the children of Israel in one place, if you set your faces to go back into Egypt, saying we'll go back to Egypt where we won't see war and famine, then he said, in my words, the very thing that you're running from, that's the thing that's going to overtake you in Egypt. The thing that the enemy is promising and saying is so much easier, is so much better, you won't find that to be the case. For there's something that we need to be able to see with our spiritual understanding and vision. We're living for something beyond this life. We're living for something beyond the comforts and the provisions of this life. We don't look at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. And so my burden this morning is about possessing our inheritance. As David was looking on in the scripture that we started with here, or the 16th chapter of Psalms, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. We can go back in time and maybe won't turn to it for the sake of time. But remember, the children of Israel had a promised land, a place that was to be called their own, that the Lord said, I'll deliver you out of Egypt and I'll bring you up into the Canaan land and you'll be able to possess it. Not just to look on it or to behold it or to go in and pay rent in it, so to speak, but you will possess it. It'll belong to you. I'll give you the ownership of it. I'll give you the keys to it, so to speak, or the possession of it, that it'll be yours. You won't owe anything to anyone else who owns the land. It'll be your own land that belongs on. It'll be your inheritance that I give unto you. And it was a promise, as we know the story, that the Lord had promised to them. And as they came up to it and they didn't believe and were turned back into the wilderness, and many were not able to possess it. But of those that went on by faith, those that were able to possess the land, they went into it and they divided the land up by tribe and by family, and they divided it and assigned it and gave it to them, and they drew the lines. You can read about it by tribe. This is where you're going to dwell, and this is the portion of your inheritance, and you're going to be over along and describe the land that you're going to possess. This is your possession. It belongs to you. It's given to you. By who? By the Lord God. By the one that made the very land that you walk upon. I give it to you. I deed it to you. This is yours. Those that would try to take it from you or would try to say, no, you can't belong. You don't belong here. This is our land. He said, I've given it to you. You go forward by faith and you possess that land. You claim it and every bit of it that I've given to you. Well, we have today an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance, a godly possession that He wants us to be able to possess, that He's given to us. Our lot, maybe not so much in land as we think of it today, but I would like to look a little more of the importance of the inheritance of land. I'd like to look in 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 21st chapter. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers. Give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. You realize what Naboth was doing? This was the king. This was the one that you would think, just by conventional thinking and wisdom, if the king says he wants something, I better comply with it. If there's one, he is the one that has the say over the army, over the entire kingdom. He's able to say the word and the army will go out and move at his bidding. Maybe I better just say, okay, go ahead and relocate. You know, land to us today doesn't mean the same that it meant to them. It wasn't just a matter of this was a vineyard that Naboth went to the local, if I can use our modern situation, the local realtor of the area and said, I'd like to buy a tract of land. Where could I find some land and go and pay an amount for it and call it mine? And maybe if a situation comes up like this, this is an opportunity to make some money. Because didn't Ahab tell him that I'll give you even more than what it's worth? I'll give you more. This is your chance to make money and you can go and buy another place. Did you know it wasn't just a matter of buying and selling land? We've rented and moved and lived in, I don't know, 7 or 8 different places in the time that Katrina and I have been married. And it's not that important of a thing to us. If we had to get up and move to sell our house and move if we got a good price for it, it wouldn't bother me like this. It surely wouldn't be worth me saying, no, I'm going to stand here even if I know what I'm saying to you could be a risky thing to do. Even if I know that it could cost me the favor of the king, no, I'm not willing to sell it to you. I'm not willing to give it up. But I want us to think this morning about, again, more than just earthly possessions. Because the Lord has a far greater inheritance for us. The Lord has a spiritual inheritance, a spiritual possession that He said, this is yours. This is your land. This belongs to you. I want you to go and possess it. And I want us to realize, following the same analogy of this story, there is a king of this world over the kingdom of darkness that would come and try to dispossess us of our inheritance. That would come and would try to say the inheritance that you have, it's not really that valuable. It's not really that good of a place. I'd be willing to buy it from you. I'd be willing to give you even more than what it's worth. I've got so much that I can promise you. I've got so much that I'm able. Look at all the land that I have out here that I can give you. This is mine to be able to give to you. Well, let's turn and let's hold this thought and pick up another in 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. Second Kings 18, and read a few verses here, beginning in the 19th verse. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speaking out of Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for war. Now in whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Who do you think you are? The king of Assyria, one that was renowned for winning victories and battles and being able to overcome people and overthrow cities and nations. Now it's your time. Now I've come up before you. A thing of the scripture in Habakkuk, I believe, the second chapter. It says that now he has come up before, he that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Watch the way. Hold fast the munitions. Folks, the he that dasheth in pieces has come up before our face. He's coming up and he's threatening and trying to discourage us today. Trying to cause us, who is this that you trust in? How is it that you think you're going to be able to stand up against all that I have at my disposal? But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and has said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now I pray thee, therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord. So now I began to demand of them, I want you to give people, give pledges, you'll pacify me. If you'll be willing to follow and accommodate the demands that I place upon you, folks, this is the way that the enemy works. He comes in and he tries to intimidate. He tries to cause us to cow down. He tries to cause us to feel like we're in the underdog position. And all we are without the Lord. Try to cause us to feel like my only hope here, my only chance is to comply with what the enemy's demanding of me. And so he made demands. Well, I want to skip down here now and read the 31st verse. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present. Come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that ye may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah, when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Oh, but our God's not like their gods. Our God is able to defend us. Remember, David said, thou maintainest my lot. Lord, you're the one that defends me. You're the one that gave me this inheritance. You're the one that said it belongs unto me. Now, Lord, I'm depending on you. For you to be my defense, for you to be my strength. Rabshakeh, as he was talking to him here, said, look, I've got another place that's just like yours. I have another land. It's similar to yours. Isn't that like the lies of the enemy? There's another way. There's another way that looks just like this way. There's another place that you can live that's just like this. I've got another place for you that you'll be able to enjoy many of the same things that you already enjoy. But come on with me. Come on with me and go ahead and just sign the contract right here and you'll be subject to me, but I'll give you your own place. I'll give you your own land and it'll belong to you and the promises that he made to him. Folks, the enemy is intent on trying to cast us out of our inheritance. 2 Chronicles 20. I want to bring out a few scriptures to try to lay some of the foundation here. 2 Chronicles 20. This is the instance in which Jehoshaphat and Judah were faced with a great multitude that was coming up against them. Beginning in the third verse, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Sounds like a good idea. Even out of all of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and they built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or the famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our afflictions, then wilt thou hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them, destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. The enemy is coming up in a force that seemed overwhelming. And their prayer to the Lord was, Lord, you gave us this land. Lord, you know that we're your people. This is our inheritance. You drove out the inhabitants of the land. And Lord, you said that this was our fathers. And you gave it unto them. You gave it to them and they passed it down to us to this day. Oh, the value that they placed on their inheritance. It was important to them. This is my God-given heritage. This is my inheritance. It's what the Lord gave to my fathers. He said that this is your land. It belongs unto you. I'm not going to sell it. Oh, even if you're the king of Israel, I'm not going to sell my land. I'm not going to give it up. Are we determined today? I'm not giving up any ground. I'm not going to give up my inheritance. A spiritual inheritance. That which we didn't have of our own. We weren't able to buy with Christ. But that which the Lord says by spiritual birth. This belongs to you. I will it to you. I deed it to you. I put it in your name. Remember, He told Israel, everywhere that the sole of your foot shall tread, I'll give it to you as a people, as an entire nation of Israel. I'll give this to you. It'll be your land. And then they divided it up by family, and each had his own lot and his own part. Oh, we're in this collectively, saints. We're in this standing and fighting against the enemy in a land that the Lord has said, this is yours to possess. Of the church of God, this is your possession. It's your city, and inherit and inhabit the city. Then you know every one of us has a place within it. Every one of us has an important place that the Lord has given us. You inherit this place. This is your possession within the city. You maintain this and you keep this. It belongs unto you. There is a place that you have to fill in this congregation and in the church of God that I'm not able to fill. That I'm not able to cover and fill your place. Every one of us have a part in this possession. In this inheritance. Now I want to encourage us to possess the inheritance. Lord, help us that I would possess it, that I would build vineyards, that I would make it a fruitful habitation, a fruitful place that I inhabit. And when the enemy comes along and tries us to get us to accept something less, that I stand on my inheritance. This is what the Lord has given me. You know, it's not about saying, I think I'm dissatisfied with my inheritance. Don't think I like it. I think you hear the expression, the grass is always greener on the other side. It's a thought that we were trying to start out with here. David looking out at the wickedness of the heathen around and the prosperity that they had, and the enemy tries to say, the grass is greener over there. The grass is greener. Life is better. Things are are happening over there, if you just go in that path, if you just go in that direction, and folks, just to bring it down to where we are, just a few of us here today, we can look and drive by the parking lots of the churches of men that are filled to the brim and overflowing. And oh, here we come and we meet just a few of us, but folks, I want us to remember, we have an inheritance. It's not just something that my fathers gave me. Folks, it's not enough as the church of God that I just hold on to something because my dad gave it to me. Or because my dad said it's right. Folks, there's value. And I would tell our young people, don't just throw away the things that you've heard. Don't just discard them. There's value in it. But it's not standing on the word of those that have gone before us alone. This inheritance wasn't something that Naboth's father went and purchased. It wasn't something that he had decided to go out and buy. It was an inheritance that was passed down from family, from generation to generation. But remember who gave it? The Lord God. The Lord said, this is your land. This is the place. Folks, the lines have been drawn. And all David said, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Are we satisfied today with where the lines are drawn? Are we satisfied, folks? Salvation is a satisfying way. I don't have to live my experience of salvation always looking on the other side of my property line, thinking, oh, I wish I owned that on the other side of the river. Oh, I wish I was over there. A wandering heart, wandering eyes, always going out after the world. Oh, I wish I was out there. Appreciated the Sunday school lesson this morning. Lord, help us that we would be vexed with the filthy conversation of the world. That I not look on that and there's something in me that's drawn to the world. There's something in me that's drawn to the inheritance that they have. The things that the enemy has given them has said, here's my toys. You can play with this. Here's my land. Here's my kingdom. Remember Satan, when he brought Jesus up, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I'll give you this. Because it was his to give. That which was of the world, the dominions of the world. He was the God of this world, the scripture says. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you if you'll only bow down. That'll become your inheritance and your possession. Oh, let's never listen to the lies of the enemy. Lord, help me that I would find that satisfying portion in my inheritance. Song number 113 says, I am satisfied completely in His love, supremely blessed. Since His arms are underneath me, soul and body are at rest. Satisfied in Jesus' keeping, He's my choice forevermore. Fade life's joys so short and fleeting. Mine are on that other shore. I'm looking at something else. I'm satisfied with what I have. I'm satisfied in this great salvation. Satisfied in God's redemptive plan. Oh, it satisfies the soul. Another song that says, there's no thirsting for life's pleasure, nor adorning rich and gay. You know, just looking on it by temporal mindset, by the carnal eye, it's no wonder the world makes fun of us. No wonder the world looks at us. Folks, if this life was all we had to live, and I've heard people say, and it boggles my mind when I look at it and I hear it, they only had a little while to live. Live it to the fullest. The girl that worked for me was talking about her mother that died of cancer, and she was in a long battle, and she said one of the last things she was able to do, she was a fighter, she'd say, and the last thing she was able to do just shortly before she died, she rallied enough to stand up and say, I'm going out for one more smoke. And she was so proud of her. My mom is a fighter, and she's able to do that. And oh, but I'm satisfied in something so much greater. There's something so much greater and so much better that the Lord has given us to be able to inherit, to be able to possess of a land that's flowing with milk and honey. All the world would look on us and say, in the short time you have to live, live it to the fullest. Live it to the fullest extent. We talked a little while back about some of the that's been in the news, and I don't even like to give the enemy much credence to say much about it. But some of the news of a website that was breached, a website that promoted adultery and despicable lifestyles, and their motto, so I've read, their motto was, life is short. Have an affair. Life is short, just live your life as a fling. Just throw it all to the wind and enjoy life to the fullest. You know, if this life is all there is to it, if this life was all there is, could you even still say that? Because I'm convinced that salvation is the very best life there is to live. Folks, you look at the results of it. Look at the fruit of it. Look at the fruit of our world. How's this lifestyle working out for you today? In the world, there's brokenness. There's heartaches. There's depression. There's suicide. It's rampant all around. I say God's way is best. I say even if there was no eternity, even if there was no heaven or hell after this life, oh, He's my choice forevermore. Fade life's joy so short and fleeting. Mine are on that other shore. I don't want what this world has to offer. My lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for salvation. Are you thankful this morning? Are you satisfied in your salvation? Lord, I don't want any of that out in the world. And all I say, if you're not, come to the Lord and let down the bucket into the well. Draw that water up that the Lord has for us. Remember, whenever Abraham was passing through the land and he dug wells, his men dug wells there, and the enemy came in and stopped him up. Was it Isaac that came back after that and he dug again the same wells that his father Abraham had digged? Folks, I want to say this about our heritage. As we mentioned, it's not about just what our fathers have said. It's not about just what my parents taught, because Muslim parents have taught things to their children as well. But whenever the heritage that we're given is a godly heritage, whenever the lines that have been drawn in my life line right up with the lines that the Word of God has given, folks, it's a goodly heritage. It's a good place to dwell. It's a safe place to live in. Would someone get for me Proverbs 23 and 10? And so Isaac, as he was coming back through the land and he was going, you know where Isaac went? He went right back to the place that he knew his father had found water. You know, it's a safe place for us today. We can go back and we can look at our fathers that have gone before us. They found water. Oh, they found an experience with the Lord. They found a faith that was able to heal. A faith that was able to carry them through life. Lord, I want to draw water from that same place. Oh, I don't need to say I'm looking for something better. There is nothing better. There's nothing better for me than the lot that the Lord has given to me. And as long as I'm tasting of life's pure river that flows right through it, you know, I'll be satisfied. I won't be longing and always, it is a miserable existence. I won't enjoy my inheritance very much if I'm always looking out and thinking, boy, I sure wish I had this on my land. Oh, I sure wish I had that. I'm dissatisfied. Does someone have that in Proverbs 23 and 10?
Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the field of the fathers.
Remove not the old landmark. This is the landmark that draws the lines of what the Lord has drawn. It's what the Lord has given. But folks, it's not for me to create or invent in my generation. It's not for me to say, you know, I think those that have gone before us, they lived in another time. They lived in another generation. And it's irrelevant to the time that we live in today. I'm going to go find a new path. Folks, the thing that we need to do in our generation is dig again the wells that our fathers have digged. To go back to the very same place. The song that we hear sometimes, let us go back to our fathers' praying ground. Let us go back to that same place where they got in touch with the Lord. Don't remove the ancient landmarks. Those places, a landmark, it's that which a surveyor maybe would go in and would be able, by his equipment, to draw the lines and survey it out by precision to say this is exactly where the line is drawn. It isn't the line itself, but it's an indication that this is where the line is. You know, the Lord wants to draw some lines in our own lives. The Lord has some places that He wants us to be able to see. Yes, even outward. Some indications, some places in our lives that are indicators to us. This is the right way. This is the way of holiness. This is the safe line, the safe boundary. You know, if I'm satisfied in my inheritance, I'm not going to be just trying to get one foot over on the other side, trying to get just as far as I can out to reach and pluck the grapes on the other side of the wall. No, I'm satisfied with my inheritance. The Lord has drawn lines in pleasant places for us. And oh, may we as His church and as His people look for those ancient landmarks. Whenever the way maybe seems blurry. You know, the enemy has a way of trying to blur the lines. He has a way of trying to muddy the waters. I'll give you an example. Just recently, as some of you may know, I've been trying to learn a little bit of German. And someone told me about a software program, and you can listen to it, and it's effective, and said, why don't you try it out? So they had a CD for me to listen to and try it, and I thought, I think this would really be helpful for me. So I started inquiring and looking into it, and it was hundreds of dollars. And I don't know about this. I don't know if it's worth it. So I thought I'd get on a shopping site that I use online that people go and post their own goods, kind of like a garage sale. And I went and I found one that he said $29 or $25, I think it was. I thought, wow, that's a bargain. $25 right here, or I can go pay $500 and get it directly from the company. And so I inquired about it a little bit. But I knew just enough for some red flags to go off and say it's probably a pirated copy. It's probably a copy that's not legitimate. So I called the company and I asked them about it. They said, no, it's not the real thing. It's probably something that someone bought the CDs and made a whole lot of copies and they're trying to make money. And it's illegal. You know, I had a choice before I called. I'll just tell you, I wrestled with it some. You know, I don't know for sure that he stole it. I don't know where it came from. I could go and pay $25 here because that's an outrageous price. You know, the enemy wants to make issues gray. He wants to make things blurry. But you know, the Lord can help us to clarify it and clear it up in our minds. And whenever I begin to put it in the context, do I want to steal and take intellectual property rights and go and buy that? You know, the Lord can make things clear for us. The Lord can clear up the lines, and what we need to look for is not another way. It's not another way that I can draw new lines in my life and say, well, but that was before. This is a little different situation. It's kind of a gray area. I think surely my property line is over here somewhere. I think I'm okay here. No, if the lines have been covered up, folks, it's time to start brushing away the dirt. I'm looking for that pin. Surveyors will go, and as they mark out the property lines, they put pins, indicators. This is where it is. Oh, I would that things that we faced over the last few years and today, that there'd be more of a desire. I want to find those old pins. I want to find those old places where the saints dwell with power with God. That's the place that I want to dwell. That's the inheritance that I want to go back and reclaim and say this is mine. So the challenge for us as a congregation and God's people is remove not the ancient landmarks. Possess the inheritance. Live within it to the fullest of what the Lord has for us. Folks, it's everything that we need. All my streams, the Lord said, are in thee. Everything that you could ever need. I've made provision for you right here within your inheritance. When the king comes along and says, I want what you have. Whenever the world comes along and says, I'll offer you something so much more valuable than that. Your little old scrap of land right along there, I've got something. Oh, let me tell you the stories about it. Let me tell you how wonderful it is. Just go ahead and pack your stuff up and come on. That I would say no. This is my inheritance. It's what the Lord has given me. And I'm staying put right here. He said, God forbid it me unto the king that I should give to thee of the possession which my fathers inherited. The thing that has fallen to me is my inheritance. I will not give up of that thing. Scripture tells us to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Folks, that's our inheritance. It's not about land or earthly possessions. That's what the children of Israel had. It was a place that the Lord had promised to them. But it was also a place the Lord said, I'll meet you. I'll meet you in this place. It's your land. It's your possession. And I'll meet you in this very place. The Lord has drawn some spiritual lines of inheritance. He said, I want you to possess this. Oh, it's a land of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom is. Power with God. Lines of holiness that mark the boundaries of it. It's a goodly heritage that we have. Lord, help us that we value it. Remember what Esau did? Scripture says he despised his birthright. And I don't believe in that context it says he hated his birthright. But he didn't esteem it. He didn't put the proper value upon it. There was something that came up that he determined this is more valuable than this. So I want to hold on to this rather than what I have here. And it was the flesh. It was a bowl of beans. It was something of no value. No less, this could have been an inheritance that he passed down from generation to generation to generation. But what he exchanged it for was pleasure that it gave him for just a matter of a few minutes. Maybe an hour or two that it satisfied his hunger and then it's gone. But it's the way it works today. When the enemy comes along and says, I have this that I'll give you for this. And people, for the pleasures of sin for a moment, throw it all away. A goodly a heritage that I could pass down to my children. Oh, when I see saints' children that have gone off and have left the old paths. It's not my words. The Scripture says, stand ye in the way and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? When I see them walking another way and I see them bringing their children up without any knowledge of what it means to serve God. You know, it's heartbreaking. They threw away a godly heritage to be able to give children. As I see in children of the saints, a desire, an interest, a tenderness to the things of God. You know, it causes me to realize what could be in their lives as well. Oh, if you just nurture, if you just pass down that inheritance to your children as well. We have a great inheritance today. Let's hold on to it. Let's possess it. Lord, I want to possess it to the fullest extent of what you have for me. And that I place such a high value on it. On the things that I have spiritually. The things that the Lord has willed to us. It's the Father's good pleasure. Oh, He longs to give to us the kingdom. This is your part. This is your place to fill. This is your own inheritance that you can possess. Lord, help us that we possess it and never exchange it. That I look for those old landmarks and have respect unto them because I'm satisfied with what the Lord has given. I'm satisfied with my inheritance. I'm thankful for it. Yes. It's that'll be safe to carry me through to the other side. You pray for me. Amen.